Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The sound you are hearing is the KMA Audio Machine Cirrus Spatial Temporal Modifier, a vastly expansive modulated delay and reverb pedal, KMA's first foray into digital effects. The Cirrus is a wonderfully expressive soundscape tool. Multiple and extensive independent modulation features give you access to a huge range of really cutting-edge tones, with a versatile expression pedal input for increased tone shaping. Floating above your head, delicate and elusive yet dreamy and sweeping, always in motion until it dissolves and merges with an immersive atmosphere around it. Just close your eyes and let the KMA Audio Machine Cirrus Delay and Reverb carry you across the open sky onto its sonic cloudscape. KMA Audio Machines truly stand out as one of the most exciting new brands in the business, now available worldwide via Audio Distribution Group, or check them out and buy online at kma-machines.com.
Welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Jay Cross.
Back once again with the Renegade Masters.
Matt Knight.
I don't have any song lyrics today.
And Mark Packham.
Groundhog Day.
Yes, that's right. We're back with... This is the 260th episode of the regular airing edition of the Guitar Nerds Podcast, which is absolutely fantastic. Obviously, once again, we're doing this remotely. We hope, dear listener, that you're also enjoying your isolation and making the most of it, making music and playing guitar and doing lots of cool things like that.
How many isolation casts are we in now? Is this the third or the fourth?
I think this is the third isolation cast. Obviously, we've also recorded a few like Patreon things as well. So those are on top. But I think this is the third one. Listener, you should also know that this Friday is the first of what will last for the rest of the year. The Friday specials will be airing on every Friday. So you're going to get this every Wednesday, every Tuesday if you're a Patreon backer, and the Friday specials every Friday or every Thursday if you're a Patreon backer, which I know is crazy getting a Friday special on a Thursday, but that's just what our Patreon's all about. Yes.
So I'm glad you bring that up, Joe, because we recorded one of these last night.
We did.
Are we allowed to say who
we... Oh, yes, you can, yeah. With? It's not coming out for another, like, month and a bit, but yeah, we can talk about that.
Oh, okay, fine.
There's no secrets.
Me and Joe recorded an episode with Kevin Equitz from Equitz Guitars last night, and he was very cool, as he always is whenever I am privileged enough to hang out with him. But one thing that he brought up, which I thought was really interesting, is the kind of the differences in our dialects. And that's something that we talked about quite a lot.
We spent a long time. Yeah, we spent a long time talking about the difference between our sort of Mockney Cockney dialect and his. Well, he's from California, but he lives in
Tennessee.
Yeah.
But the one thing that I really wanted to, that really stuck in my head about our conversation, was he pointed out that whenever we're talking about like big hollow body Gibsons, we will call it like, you know, a Gibson 335, whereas, or a 339, whereas they would call it a 335 or a 339, right?
And 182.
You're And that is exactly what I was thinking about, how indignant Joe gets when we call it, when we call them Blink 182, and he's like, no, it's Blink 182, actually. And I just thought, there we go, it's actually a cultural shift there. And,
it is.
And it's totally fine. It's no need to freak out about it.
My favourite one from that was the Plectrum versus Pix. I had no idea that Americans don't call plectrums plectrums. I thought
pluckers, mate.
Sorry,
call them pluckers. That's what
pluckers,
I call them.
Right, yeah.
Got any of them plicky pluckers, mate?
Just pluckers. That's all you need to say. Got any pluckers?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, I've got loads, actually. Yeah, yeah. Do you need to borrow some?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, okay. I've got loads as well. It's
oh,
fine.
Okay, fine.
No. Yeah. Well, we're giveaways.
We are giveaways.
So I was thrown off the scent there for a second. Sorry, but yes, we've been running for the last month. We've been running this mammoth Thorpey Effects giveaway to win the Thorpey Effects Heavy Water, which has been incredible. People have been able to enter on Twitter, on Instagram, and on Facebook, which retrospectively for me. It was terrible because every single entry I have to copy and paste into the wheel of Nerdia for us to spin. And unfortunately, that meant, you know, I put out maybe, I don't know, 8 posts about this on each platform. So it took me the best part of a day to put all of the near 700 entries when it finished into this giveaway, all into... into one spinning wheel, but we need to select the winner. We need to spin that wheel. We need to select the winner, announce them on the podcast, because afterwards we've got a very exciting announcement. So, is everyone ready, nerds? Are we all ready?
It's so visual, I can't believe it.
Born ready. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. We are going to we're going to announce this winner via the wheel. So I'm going to spin the Wheel of Nerdune here on my computer. I'm using wheelofnames.com, a fantastic website where you can literally enter names onto a wheel and they will spin, which is a wonderful.
We know absolutely nothing about that company, Joe. We should not say that we stand by them as the world's number one competition
wheel company.
I'll be honest with you. I was buying time then because I put the names into the wheel about 6 hours ago and just revisited the tab and it had completely frozen. So I was re-dropping the names in on a new tab. So yes, that was kind of my brain talking without really knowing what I was saying for a good few seconds. Whilst I tried to copy paste everything in. But the good thing is we're there now, so we're ready to spin. Are you guys ready?
Sure. I literally cannot wait.
Okay, here we go. We're going to find out who wins Thorpey Effects Heavy Water. I have pressed the button. It is spinning round and round. The wheel is spinning. The wheel is slowing. It's starting to slow. No, it doesn't work that way on this. It is slowing. And oh, there's the winner is, it looks like it is a winner from Facebook. I can tell because on Facebook we get the names. Obviously on Instagram I have the, you know, the
handles.
Thank you very much. Ben Cornell is the winner. Well done, Ben Cornell, on our Facebook. I will contact you shortly to let you know. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my secret
well
second identity. Oh, I'm so glad.
Well, yes. Well done, Ben Cornell. That's you have won yourself a Thorpey Effects Heavy Water. Thank you, everyone who entered the competition. You know, it's always lovely to do a giveaway and give something back to you. So thank you all for joining. And well done, Ben. For being victorious in this endeavour. Now this week we're actually announcing another giveaway. That's right, we've got another one. We in fact have giveaways lined up for the next few months. Oh, it's a great way of, you know, sort of wasting time on the podcast. Anyway, so our our new giveaway, this is our biggest giveaway ever. We've teamed up with Tate Effects with Marcus Deluxe pedal boards to bring you the big pink giveaway. Okay, so the winner of this competition is going to receive a custom pink Tate Effects Antares Overdrive, the pedal that you, Matt Knight, have. This isn't Matt Knight's. We have a separate one to give away.
I was going to say, wait a second.
Yeah, sorry, I should have told you that, Matt. We're actually taking that off of your board. I know you've just built a board around it, but no, yeah, we need that back. Yeah. So there's a pink Tate FX Antares, a pedal so good that Matt might put it on his pedal board. You're going to get that on a Marcus Deluxe slatted pedal board in Guitar Nerds Pink, which is pretty cool. If you haven't checked out Marcus Deluxe's pedal boards, you can do on Instagram. They're absolutely fantastic handmade wooden slatted pedal boards in colours. This colour is officially named Guitar Nerds Pink. It is officially endorsed by us. We have a lot of time for this company. They make fantastic pedal boards. So, yes, you'll get a pink Marcus Deluxe pedal board and then a whole load of pink accessories from Ernie Ball. You've got pink cables, pink wristbands, an Ernie Ball pint glass, pink strings from Ernie Ball, not pink strings, but you know, the strings that come in pink packets, and you get a whole load of Guitar Nerds Gravity Plectrums. Gravity Picks didn't do any in pink, so I got them in clear, but you know, there's, it's all part of the pink giveaway.
We'll send you a pink highlighter.
Yeah, we'll send you a pink highlighter.
We'll just place the clear picks on one of the other prizes. Job done.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's the aim. So entry is open worldwide, and all you have to do to enter is visit any of our social media channels, find the entry post, and then all you got to do for this one is comment on the post, tagging a friend who you think should also enter. It's very easy. We'll announce the winner on Wednesday, the 6th of May, right here on the podcast.
Who wins? The person that tags or the person that was tagged?
Yes, that's very important, actually. I did a competition like this at GAC, and people got very confused about who wins. All you're doing is tagging someone who should also enter. If they then enter, that is down to them. They could not enter. It is you that has entered. So, you know, whoever's name you write, don't worry. It's you that has entered.
So you could tag, like, Brad Pitt.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Tag Brad Pitt if you want. In fact, that would be great. In fact, let's change this. Everyone tag
definitely
Brad
don't.
Pitt. No.
That's concentrated harassment.
He might be really into guitars. He might be like, I can't believe I've never entered a Guitar Nerds competition before.
Exactly.
I'm telling you what, though, Joe. Talking about celebrities, I was thinking, while there's no filming going on or anything like that, there's got to be a load of celebrities with guitar collections that need to come on the pod, like Jason Momoa. I know we talked about it a little while ago, but
yeah, what
great
man.
Guitar collector. Drop him a message. He'll come on.
Yeah, yeah, I should. He is a wonderful man. Yes. Yeah, I definitely. Yeah, I want that man's abs. I mean, I want that man on this podcast. Yeah, that
let's
would
get
be
him
fantastic.
On.
You know, I want Kiefer Sutherland. He was my favourite character in Young Guns 2.
We got, we got this whole other podcast every week. You know, we got room.
Exactly. Yeah, I need to get Kiefer. But Kiefer Sutherland does have a fantastic collection of guitars, including his Gibson signature model 335 in what's the Gibson gold?
Gold.
Mega gold.
Old gold.
Okay. Old gold, right, that one. But yes, he has a
24 carat gold.
Right. Oh,
there you go. Oh! There you go.
How is it not called that? Oh my god. How is it not called that? That's everything. Anyway, so we're going to announce the winner of this competition on Wednesday, the 6th of May, right here on the podcast. So you have until the 4th of May to enter. Yes. Oh, yeah. Right. So,
Star Wars Day.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, it is. May. Yes. It is. Yeah. Yeah. May
did
the
you
4th,
know?
Yeah.
Did you notice it was First Contact Day yesterday?
No.
Yesterday, the 5th of April. Yeah.
Why is that First Contact? Is that just the day that we made first contact in Star Trek?
Yeah, it's the day that the Vulcans come down.
Right.
Sorry
Enterprise.
Sorry to spoiler anyone who hasn't seen the hit movie Star Trek: First Contact. But if you haven't watched it yet and you want to, just stop listening for a second. Although I have already spoiled it. Basically, the Vulcans come down and they make first contact on the 5th of April, 2063 or 2163 or whenever it is. So,
oh, right.
Yeah,
so
we've got a few years yet, but it was the anniversary yesterday. It was a very special day. Very
anniversary of something that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, the pre-anniversary, yeah.
The pre-anniversary.
Pre-anniversary,
yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. So I also need to announce that when we announce the winner of the Tate FX and Marcus Deluxe pink giveaway, we're also going to be putting all of our Patreon supporters' names into a hat to win a limited edition Tate FX Raise the Dead Germanium Transistor Fuzz. So
is that also in pink?
It's not, no. It's okay. But it has an incredible 1984 germanium transistor in it. And we'll be announcing the winner on the 6th also. So we'll pop all the names into the hat on that day and announce it on that day. All you've got to do is be a part of our Patreon community to be entered into that one. But yeah, how about that? That is a lot of giveaways that we're doing.
It's a whole lot of giveaways.
Yes, very exciting.
Absolutely. And also, before we get started on guitar things, I think it's worth mentioning that this Friday is the Guitar Nerds Facebook Quiz of the Century, happening over on our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/Guitar Nerds Forum. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Of the Century?
Oh, why is it of the century?
So we're not going to do another one of these for like 81 years?
No. It's just This is going to be the best one. We can do as many as we want.
I was thinking about that. Well, I was thinking about that.
Well, they won't be as good as this one.
Yeah. As we're in lockdown for a while, seemingly, maybe we could do a running leaderboard of quiz participants.
For the century. That's a great idea.
I'm not sure we're going to be in lockdown quite that long, but we will be for a while. So maybe we still do, you know, each nerd hosts a quiz. But we keep a running leaderboard for the four quizzes.
That is, oh my goodness. What? Oh, so a different nerd host for each one?
Yeah, different nerd host for each one. And then as long as the people participating keep the same team name, we can collate it into a leaderboard across the four quizzes.
Well, surely their team name will be their name, but, you know.
Well, no, it's up to them. Could be whatever.
I guess it is up to them. Maybe I'll add bonus points for that. That's a good
idea. Oh, yeah, you've got to have a best team name. Has got to win at least one point.
I tell you what, boys, I've been writing some of the quiz today. There are some fantastic rounds. I've got picture rounds going on. I've got rounds where you have to send in a photo of something. I've got like multiple choice rounds. There are rounds about, you know, the year of things, rounds about normal answers. There are rounds about everything. There are so many rounds.
Is it all guitar related?
Everything's guitar related. There is even, I'm even doing a bonus round based on the photographs of me playing in bands when I was between the ages of 16 and 18, and you've got to name the gear I'm playing.
That's, name that band.
Yeah. What was it called? Like Captain Squirrel Nuts or something?
No. Three Dead Squirrels.
No, Four Dead Squirrels.
Four
was
Dead
one
Squirrels.
Of the bands.
And wait, Superhero, the other one?
Yeah.
Superheroes Anonymous. That was it.
Yeah. That's exactly that. Probably the two greatest bands that never committed anything to record, in my opinion. But yes, there it is. So I'm very excited about the quiz. It's going to be wonderful. Anyway, we should talk about some guitar stuff. I want to start off by talking about KMA audio machines again, because of course, as I pictured on our Instagram, listener, you can check out on our Instagram, instagram.com/guitar nerds, or just, you know, @guitar nerds, whatever. I took a photo of the big KMA audio machines pedal board that we've been sent. So I've been kind of working my way through those pedals, and we spoke about them last week. We spoke a lot about the Cirrus, which I guess by the time this podcast goes out, there's a little demo video of me using the Cirrus out and about.
You take the pedal out with you, go to the park or something.
Joe, you're supposed to be social distancing. You can't just take the pedal out.
You need to be released.
You need to be at least your Volto and plugging it in down whilst you're waiting to get into co-op at the bottom of the road, standing 2 meters away from everyone.
I feel like I've let you all down. I realise this. I am sorry. That's it is terrible. So I was checking out. So this week I've spent a lot of time on the KMA Logan, which is KMA's only drive pedal. You know what's really interesting about this? It's really late in the game for KMA, for them to release a drive, in that they have maybe 4-5 different fuzzes and distortions. Then they did 2 phasers, you know, which is, you know, and both like, you know, really expansive phasers. And only then do they release like a transparent sounding drive pedal. You know, it sounds like the drive pedal I expect to be the essential thing that people bring out early on, to be like, here's our back line of pedals, here's our drive, our fuzz, our reverb, whatever. But this is something that's kind of almost an afterthought for KMA. It's something that's been brought out a lot later. But it's absolutely fantastic.
A few companies have done that, though. When you think about like Strymon and companies like that, you know, the drives kind of came last, you know, and like someone like Meris, I guess, like they haven't done a drive yet, from what I understand. You know, it's like the weirder stuff seems to come first, and that's your kind of headline launch. And then it's like, oh, actually, people might like a drive as well.
I think that makes sense, though, because it's you know, relatively, it's probably easier to make a bit of a stir with a kind of weird modulation pedal than being like, oh, here's a new drive pedal, and being able to establish yourself as a brand before just bringing out, you know, another drive pedal or whatever, I think is a good way of doing it. Because otherwise, that's what people will say. They'll just be like, oh, okay, fine, another drive pedal, whatever, you know.
Yeah, I guess you're right. The cool thing, like speaking to the guys at KMA, and what I thought was really interesting about this brand is they talked to me about the original conception of each of their pedals and how every time it seems to spiral out into something else. So in the case of the Logan, they were like, let's make a low-gain transparent drive. And they've ended up making this transparent-sounding drive that also has a separate sweepable mid-frequency boost. So you've got the, you know, the on-off, the engage switch, as it were, with an active EQ there that you can have pre or post the gain circuit, which already gives you like a load of... you know, a big range of sounds. And then you've got this mid boost that you can kick in, but then that is also sweepable via the mid frequencies control, which you can also expression out, so you can have a sweepable mid frequency kind of wah-esque on a separate expression pedal out of this drive. So it's kind of cocked wah mid push drive and transparent drive all in one. Which, you know, I thought was an absolute bucket of fun. I had a really good time using this pedal. I thought it kind of did an awful lot of stuff, which was cool. And then on top of that, it has, you take the back off the pedal and you've got the little dip switches. So you can, not dip switches. In this case, a little variable, a little variable control, a little mini rotary that you can boost and make the Q frequency of the mid range more expressive, so more ridiculous, which was fantastic and kind of, it's just not something you see a lot on drive pedals. How many drive pedals have an expression input, you know?
I just like the fact it's called Logan and it's low gain. I think that's a touch.
Oh, I didn't get that. Oh, that is fantastic.
I assume it's that. I mean, there may be other reasons for it as well, but that makes sense to me. Yeah, low gain drive. What's it called? Logan. It's called Logan. Yeah. It's called Logan.
That's wonderful. Yeah. But yeah, so I had a fantastic time messing around with that pedal this week. I'm going to try and film a video of me fooling around with it soon. But the coolest thing about the KMA stuff for me is kind of the price point of the pedals, because they're all coming in at, you know, under £200 for these these really sort of left field pedals that kind of do more than the standard. I'm having a great time with them. I do appreciate at this point, listener, that they are also sponsoring the podcast, but I also personally have a big board of them here to mess around with them, and I'm having a great time. I think they're really cool pedals, and I really think they're worth checking out.
Did you mention the artwork on the Logan? Because that is one of the most important things.
Yeah. It does look fantastic.
Any pedal that's got a narwhal on it, I'm in.
Yes, it does. It does have a narwhal.
Sorry, Joe, were you drinking there? Did I make you speak at a point where you were supping on a beer? Yeah, it's sort of. It looks like a. Is it like a wolf in some sort of robe holding a baby narwhal? And you know, what could be more metal than that?
It's wonderful artwork. The artwork is pretty consistently ridiculous and brilliant on these pedals. They're a wonderful addition to sort of like weird boutique-y brands. I'm really enjoying everything about them.
Whoever's doing the artwork is just loving it. Like, I'm just looking at the worm right now, which is the Dune worm. Oh, we talked about this last week, didn't we?
We talked about it briefly, yeah, about the fact that, yeah, it doesn't have one LED to turn the pedal on. It has, like, six, which are, like, the teeth of the worm.
Yeah,
so they
yeah,
all
yeah.
come on around, you know, at the same time when you engage the pedal. Yeah, they're fantastic.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff going on here. If you're into, like, weird kind of... I guess, yeah, the artwork that you see on a lot of like prog bands' album covers is very much what they're going for here.
Yeah, exactly. A German brand with a wonderful, expansive sort of, you know, German taste in artwork, I guess. But yeah, I thought it was very cool. Anyway, should we do some news, gang?
Sure.
Okay, wonderful. Here's the jingle for the news. Right, so first up, Matthew Knight. I want to talk about a brand that we don't often talk about on this podcast.
Boss.
Releasing...
Gibson.
Releasing something that no one ever expected them to release.
Okay, that could be two of the news items that has my name next
oh,
to it.
Oh, right,
Joe
yeah,
Branson.
Okay. Oh, I was going one through down. Oh, but you can talk about whichever one you want.
Well, I tell you what, let's start with Kemper. So Kemper releases the Cabinet and the Cone, all spelt with a K. There's a Simpsons reference in there somewhere. So the Kemper Cabinet and the Kemper Cone are part of the Profiler series. Obviously, I'm sure you can guess by the names what they are. The first one is the guitar cabinet that comes in a 2x12. I think it's actually a 1x12. A 1x12, 2x12, and a 4x12 filled with their new Kemper Cone, which is the kind of snazzier part of this whole bundle. So the Kemper Cone is the specially designed lightweight speaker that you pair with a Kemper profiling power amp that basically has 19 different speaker character or imprints, as they call it, built in. Now, I thought this was a very, very similar idea to the Line 6 Power Cab, which has a very similar thing. But I think they're doing it slightly differently because they're saying that the Kemper models that you can create, you can actually separate the speaker out of the profile. Because obviously when you profile a Kemper, you are firing audio through the speaker at the same time. So you can separate the amp model, and then you can run it through 19 different classic speaker cabs. So they're actually using DSP in the Kemper for their, what they say, ultra-linear frequency response speaker that's using a dedicated Kemper algorithm they've built specifically for these speakers.
This is emulation to the nth degree.
So, Matt, just to be clear about this, like, this is a passive cab, right? This isn't like the Line 6.
This is a passive cab.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So this is different to the power cab stuff. So it's basically they're doing the modelling still in the Kemper itself.
That's correct.
And essentially,
yes.
I guess what this is just like a really good full range passive
yes.
cab. Right. Okay.
But the idea here is that so that they're saying the Kemper Cone has been narrowed towards the physics of classic guitar speaker chassis. So even a full range sound covers a distinct character, unlike PA speakers or monitors.
Got it.
So the idea, I think, is you've basically got 19 included speaker imprints of well-known speakers from Celestion, including a couple of rarities. There'll be more added with updates. And then you can power the cab. So it's a passive cab with either the Kemper Profiler power head or power rack. If you've got the non-powered ones, you can just use a separate power amp if you want. But the advantage of using Kempers is that you can run them in stereo. So you could run different cabs into different speaker models into different cabs. But yeah, effectively, if you think when you profile a Kemper, what you have to do is fire noise through the speaker, through the amp, through the speaker, and then you basically pick up that noise and that becomes the model. So it's obviously doing something very clever inside to eliminate those frequencies of the speaker or the amp in some ways, and then obviously fire it through the cone. Now, what is cool is you can buy the Kemper cone as a replacement for standard guitar cabs if you want to do that. So if you've already got a studio and you've got a Kemper and you've got some cabs kicking around, you can buy them as a single unit, twos, or in sets of four. And then there is a there isn't a 1x12 cab, there's a 2x12 and a 4x12 cab.
Strange that they would omit the single 12 when it's such a popular
I think the thing
choice.
Is they're probably trying to open up Kemper into more of the gigging world, and people maybe using Kempers on stage a lot more and having cabinets, because ultimately we all know what it's like through a PA monitor, a full range monitor, like it says, it doesn't necessarily give you the dynamic playing experience of playing through a kind of guitar cab.
But are people who are using Kemp, I mean, are people gigging with something more than a 1x12?
Yeah. Well, I think the thing is, if you take what Kemper, what a lot of people, now this is obviously just my opinion, but I'd imagine you'd get, like, what I'm seeing is a lot of big touring bands, like, you know, who are doing a lot of touring, a lot of gigs in a year, are taking Kempers out on the road. And all of that just goes straight to front of house and into monitors, basically. And those Kempers replicate all the sounds they've got in the studio. And then you've got smaller bands or smaller guitar players, musicians who are using them at home, but they're still going out and gigging a quote-unquote real amplifier. So I think what they want to do is take more of that kind of semi-pro musician who maybe doesn't do a lot of gigs or are playing smaller gigs, to take their Kemper out on the road rather than just leave it in the studio. Because the majority of what I see is Kempers are being used in the studio a lot. They're not necessarily out on the road a lot, unless they're massive touring bands where they want something that's ultimately a lot more reliable. So I think they're trying to build
this
in...
This is a way of opening it up to middle and lower level bands.
Yeah, exactly. Because now, at the moment, you kind of buy a Kemper and you don't really buy like the complete set, so then you have to go and buy like PA speakers, yeah. And let's face it, lots of musicians, lots of guitar players, ourselves included, want things to look nice. And absolutely, if you're not playing that many gigs, and you know, you know if you want to go and buy a Mesa Boogie because it looks great and sounds great, cool, but you might go, oh, it's not as versatile as a Kemper, but it doesn't look as good as the Mesa Boogie that I've
well absolutely bought, I mean, so. The main reason, you know, for me never ever considering the Headrush cab is because it was a wedge PA speaker, and that was not something that I wanted. I appreciate maybe there is a sort of an area of sort of modern metal where that's a look that's desirable, but it's certainly not for what I think is the bulk of guitar players.
Yeah, there's definitely people out there who care more about like function over form, and unfortunately, yeah, we're not those people.
We are
actually
not,
and
those people.
I tell you what's interesting, just reading a little bit more about it, just in terms of tone and feel, which obviously is a big thing to a guitar player. Just reading about the imprints, they've kind of gone into a bit more detail later on. So the profilers already have something called monitor cab off, which basically I think just turns the speaker cabs off inside the Kemper, so you can run them through third-party IRs or anything like that. And when you do that, it turns the Kemper cone switch from a full-range speaker to speaker imprint mode. That's when you can use these speaker imprints or these guitar speaker models they've built in. But they're saying that the sound of the imprint shouldn't be mistaken with mic'd cabinet simulations of a profile. So I'm guessing a profile is, yeah, you're getting the amp and the speaker model, and this is something a little bit different. So it brings back what they call the amp in room sound, which again, a lot of people who use Kemper, I know use Kemper, it's like the sound is incredible, but it's very like flat. That's not the prettiest word to use, but it's like a great recorded guitar sound. And I think what a lot of people are missing is a great guitar amp sound, if you know what I mean. So it's like it feels more live, it feels more in the room.
I wonder if there's like an element of this working backwards as well. Like, you know, let's say you've got a guitar amp that you take for gigs, but you're like, I want to do a load of home recording, can't mic stuff up, really want to get a Kemper. Like, I can't really justify having a guitar amp and, like, the non-powered Kemper at home. But then also, like, I can't just take a Kemper out and, like, take it with my regular two, or I'm not going to get the best out of it taking my regular 212 out with it. So I wonder if there's an element of, like, okay, they're trying to sell gigging musicians, who want a Kemper on like a rig that does everything, rather than like, oh, I use a Kemper and I want to take it out. I think there's like probably an element of it going the other way as well.
This episode of Guitar Nerds is brought to you by Shergo Guitars and their latest electric guitar, the Provocateur. Celebrated by Total Guitar magazine as one of the most refined single cuts on the market, with endlessly satisfying playability and a flawless set of tones, the Shergo Provocateur combines remarkable specification with a retro vibe for a unique and bona fide rock guitar. From the brand that once powered the likes of Joy Division and is now championed by modern guitar pioneers and So I Watch You From Afar and many others, comes a fresh and exciting range of electric guitars. Designed by legendary British guitar luthier Patrick James Engel and featuring a roasted mahogany neck and a solid mahogany body loaded with USA-made Seymour Duncan pickups, it's easy to see why Guitarist magazine officially voted the Provocateur one of the best electrics of 2019. You can find your nearest Shergo dealer at shergoguitars.com. And if you're not in the UK, don't fear. Many UK-based Shergo dealers have super awesome international shipping options to guarantee your Shergo will make it to you in the most far-flung of places. Proudly stand out from the crowd and discover yours today at shergoguitars.com. Shergo Guitars. Be your own original. Ernie Ball is excited to announce that the highly anticipated Volume Pedal Junior Tuner Pedal is here. It's the perfect combination 2-in-1 pedal offering precise volume control with an enhanced definition digital tuner. The pedal features a fast and accurate chromatic tuner with a graphic volume display that's visually attractive and easy to operate. The large display automatically switches between tuner and volume modes depending on the signal level, allowing players to tune at a minimal volume level. However, other always-on configurations are also accessible via double-tapping the touchscreen. The tuner can be calibrated to a variety of ideal reference pitches, and its compact, rugged design consists of aluminium housing and features a stronger, more durable PVC-coated Kevlar cord, ensuring consistent tension throughout the foot sweep. Available in silver, red, white, and black. Visit ErnieBall.com to learn more. Now, back to the podcast.
Yeah. Absolutely. But I think this is it seems like a really cool product that they're sort of moving, you know, trying to cover, I think, some situations that their users are already coming up against.
Here's a question. Mark Packham.
Yeah.
Do you understand this product?
Yes, I completely understand this.
Right. Because wow.
Because it's a passive cab that you use with an amp modeler, which is what I expected this kind of product to be.
Right. Okay. It is
worth... Because Line 6 released the same thing and you weren't sure about it.
No, that's a powered cab with models in it, which is what I don't understand. And right. we should have asked Ben Adrian last time we spoke to him to give me a bit of a rundown. But yeah, this I completely understand because it's basically just a guitar cab with some differently voiced speakers in it.
Yeah, but it is worth pointing out that the Kemper cone and the Kemper cabinet work exclusively with the profiler. So you can't buy this passive cab, this passive speaker, put it in your cab and then use it with other modelers, for example, or a Helix or something similar.
Right.
You need the Kemper to run some of the digital features around the speaker itself.
I see. Region locked. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Regionals.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not going to America and buying one cheap, unfortunately.
But actually, one thing I would say, just in terms of cost, the speakers are relatively well priced. Everything's available direct from the Kemper online store. One speaker is €150.
What?
So about the same price as a little bit, probably the top end speaker, but not certainly as expensive as like EV speakers, which are, you know, £200-300.
That's a lot cheaper than I was expecting it to be.
Yeah. I mean, a Kemper profiler now is £1,400, which is, you know, I know that's more than a Line 6 Helix, but if you were going to compare it to a lot of premium priced valve heads, I kind of think they're relatively in line at the moment. Should I buy a Kemper?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah?
As long as you don't use Guitar Nerd's money to do it, do whatever you like.
Oh, I use Guitar Nerd's money for everything. Well, I mean, yeah. I'm lucky no one else checks the account balance.
That is true.
Anyway, moving on to the next piece of news. Mark Packham.
Hello there.
I'm going to talk about Godin.
Yeah, so Godin guitars have announced a brand new electric guitar, the Stadium HT, which if you sort of look at it in a picture and sort of squint your eyes a little bit, it looks very much like a T-style guitar. It's slightly kind of smaller body shape than a traditional T-style, but apart from that, all the things that you would expect are there. You know, 6-inline headstock, 2 single-coil pickups, 3-saddle bridge, a long control plate in the regular sort of T style. And there's not a huge amount more to say about it. One thing that they are sort of talking about is this acoustic-like finish. And, you know, those guitars are... You know, Godin's normally, is from what I remember, have just a regular gloss finish. This seems like it's going to have a kind of satin finish that you would expect from an acoustic guitar. The idea being that... You know, with a lot of these guitars, a lot of these style guitars with this finish, that it's going to wear in quicker and give you that, well, how did they phrase it? A comfy old pair of jeans feel and a weathered look.
I like it. I love Godin guitars anyway, but yeah. I think this looks great.
They are fantastic, and I think they're a brand that we don't talk about enough, and almost I think you're kind of underselling them there, because they've got this lovely rich, like, it's not a roasted, it's a hard rock maple neck, but it's a dark colored maple neck, so it has the impression of that sort of roasted maple neck on the back and front and the headstock. I think they look absolutely gorgeous. The brass saddles, the sort of no scratch plates, so you've got the exposed sort of neck pickup area sort of thing.
Definitely,
I think
another
this looks
option.
Absolutely
actually, so
gorgeous.
That board, Joe, actually is rosewood. So the three colours.
Oh, the board's rosewood, but the neck is hard rock maple that's been darkened.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I see what you mean. But yeah, on the transparent white model, you've got a rosewood fretboard. The matte black and Havana brown come with a maple board. So it's one of those things where you kind of got to match up the finish to the board that you want.
These guitars look fantastic. They look like old coffee table style guitars. So actually, this guitar that we're talking about this week, the Stadium HT, is something that we originally had in the news to talk about, the model that preceded it slightly by a couple of weeks, which was the Radium Carbon, which is the RN series of guitars, which is
basically the same body shape but with slightly different kind of features. Did we talk about the Radium before?
We didn't. No, we never got round to it. You wanted to talk about it, but we just never got round to it on the episode that we'd planned to.
So the Radium is still kind of T, like body shape wise, it's kind of classic T style. But what you've got, I would suggest, is a kind of much more, I guess, rock oriented guitar. So you've got wraparound compensated bridge, like a Junior style, 2 humbuckers, bridge and neck, with a Tele pickup in the middle, a Tele sort of neck pickup in the middle. And I'm just checking the...
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
3x3 Gibson style headstock, yeah, as well.
Yeah, 3x3 Gibson style headstock, and these are a glued neck, whereas the
they're glued neck as well.
They are. So Stadium is, which is the regular T style one, is a bolt on neck. So I guess they're basically pitching these as like you've got your traditional LP style guitar, I would say, with the glued neck, and then you've got the traditional T-style guitar with the bolt on neck.
I've just seen the back of the Radium.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Really nice.
Yeah, it's incredibly nice. Listener, you have to go and check this out. This glue-on neck Radium, where the neck is sort of getting lighter in colour, like it's worn on a glued neck Telecaster, where they've put kind of SG style beveling in the back of the body. Oh my goodness.
There's a lot going on there.
That's what I like about the Stadium, because the neck carve towards the top end is the same sort of carve shape as my Nick Huber. And it's super, super comfortable. And I'm like, actually it looks so pro. And I mean, the price is just
Yeah, I don't
ridiculous.
Know the price on the Radium. The price on the
it's the same.
Stadium HT, $649.
It might be 100 more on the Radium, I think.
I'd imagine it's more because the glued neck generally implies it's a bit more money. But looking at all of their electrics, just across the whole of their website, actually, they've got some great stuff. Like they've obviously reissued the Radiators, which we talked about a little while ago. The Session HTs are really nice, which are kind of more sort of super Strat style. Again, with like either a fixed bridge with humbuckers, or there's a trim model as well. And they do like a huge range of those. There's everything from more sort of classic looking ones in a kind of metallic red, right through to some more modern-ish ones, I would say, in these kind of worn finishes, like a matte black finish. Yeah, there's tons of stuff going on with Godown at the moment. I kind of always wanted a Radiator. Maybe now's the time to get one. They look
Joe, have you seen the Summit Classic in convertible gold? I think you should have a look at that on their website, because that is, it's basically screaming Joe Branton at me.
Wait, I think I need to find it. What is it called? The Summit Classic?
Summit Classic, yes. On the
is it a hollow body?
No, it's not.
It's a solid body.
Summit Classic in convertible gold.
Oh, I didn't even see there was a second
page. My goodness. Okay, that's very, very cool. But I have to say that the Summit Classic SG Vintage Burst, the single P90 single cut, I am very excited about. But probably, actually, the thing I'm most excited about is the Summit Classic SG in matte green with two zebra-style humbuckers.
We talked about those before. When those were released, we've definitely talked about those, because I've definitely seen those.
I am incredibly excited about this guitar.
What I didn't realise is they do like a range of like semi-hollow guitars. Obviously they've done the what they call Fifth Avenue for a while, which are the big body sort of jazzers, but I didn't realize they do like a whole bunch of kind of almost Gretschy style guitars, or like old school Gibson thin line hollow bodies. So they do the Montreal Premier series, and they do those again with some different sort of lineups. So they do like the Premier Limited, which has got a Bixby and two DV Jones, so you kind of know what they're going for there. And they do the Premier Supreme Light Burst, which looks like, what's that Gibson called that's kind of like not an L6S. Can't remember what they're called, but
stands for hollow, solid body.
Yeah, so maybe they're L6 or L5. But
L5
they're like a
is
thin
the big jazz. The big jazzer.
These have kind of got that body shape, but they look to be like a thinner depth. These look amazing, really good,
really good. I don't know why we don't all play Godans.
Well, if I could and I had money to burn, I would definitely buy the Godan Multi-Oud.
Multi-Oud.
Wait, what's that?
Well, an oud is an 11-string fretless Middle Eastern instrument that has all their multi-act technology in it. and a tuna.
Of course.
But yeah, it's worth
the multi-hued ambience.
They also do a seven string classical. Go down to
which is not uncommon, by the way. Seven string classicals are something that existed for a long time.
That's true, but this is like a electro acoustic, very high end. It's a very odd one, but they don't forget they have the whole multi voice series, which is their. I think it's got a synth output, a piezo pickup, and humbuckers, which they do in electric versions and acoustic versions. And I think they make some fretless guitars as well, I think.
They make some great acoustics, I didn't realise. I'm just looking at one now called the Rialto Junior, which is a... I forget, it's like a parlour-style guitar, I guess. But it's in silver, and it's got like two strat... Not strat knobs, like two like top hat knobs on it. Because I guess it's got a preamp in there. It looks amazing, like for just weird little kind of oddity small guitar that you can knock about with.
We should try and get some.
I tell you what, whilst we're going down this route, I'm just having a look at the basses. Have you seen the Dorchester?
Oh, wait. No, I haven't seen any of the basses.
The Dorchester
is amazing.
It's wicked. It's like, it's a 30-inch scale. Wait, Joe. It's a 30-inch scale, almost like a... It looks a bit like a Burns, I guess.
Or, I can't believe you picked that and not the A4 Bass Ultra fretless SG.
I mean, yeah. Come on, Matty. Like, I thought I'd let Joe catch up and do his like Sonic the Hedgehog comedy dropping of all of his rings when he found that guitar.
Oh my goodness. That is like the one that Matt's talking about, the A4 Ultra. Ultra is a terrible name. But the A4 Ultra is like the what are those terrible acoustics with plastic backs?
Ovation.
That's it. Yeah, Ovation with the silly hole in the top horn, not horn, but the top bit. It's like that. Oh, I'm really into that. The A4 has got
How are you already not playing one of these Dorchesters? I'm just looking at it
right
now.
The Dorchester looks fantastic. Wicked.
The Dorchester
and the two
amazing.
Colours. There's the two colours. There's black, and then there's the... Is the only difference? Yeah, the only difference is the Cherry Bus. And the Cherry Bus looks wicked. It looks like a Rickenbacker Triburst. Is that what that... What's the Rickenbacker kind of sunburst called? Is that Triburst?
No. It's Fireglow.
Fireglow. Yeah, you're right. Sorry, of course. Yeah, Fireglow. It looks a bit like that. But the
Dorchester is incredible. It's just the right amount of Mosrite, but
it's Mosrite, it's Rickenbacker, it's kind of like Eastwood Airline kind of vibe to it. How do you not know about these? They're short scale and they look wicked.
I don't know, but I'm looking up shops with them now. So
where can you get one?
Okay, so they retail for around £1,000.
Okay.
Is the sort of average price of them. I tell you what, they're totally worth that. I'm going to have a look around my room and see what I can list to sell tonight because this, what an absolutely gorgeous bass guitar. It's the right scale length. It looks incredible.
I think they've made a guitar version as well. Oh,
really?
These look fantastic. Oh. Yeah, they have. There is a guitar version available and it looks absolutely incredible.
No. Really?
Yeah, if you're into like retro guitars, these are... How have we not talked about these before? They look fantastic.
Know. These are wonderful. I am very excited about this Dorchester. I think I'm going to get one of these. I'm going to find something to sell and get one of these because this looks absolutely... I've been thinking about Mosrite for ages. Like, I've been keep looking at the Dan Electro Mosrites, but loath to sort of spend £900 on a Dan Electro. I always kind of, even though they're fantastic sounding guitars, I kind of feel like they should be at a slightly different price point. So I've been sort of, I'm in an R-ing over it. But this is absolutely wonderful.
Tell you what, talking about Dan Electro, this week... because I've not had much time, I've been super busy, but the time that I have had to sit down and play guitar, I've not even been touching the Les Paul Junior. I'm so into the Dan Electro right now. It's crazy. At one point I was thinking about selling it, but now absolutely not. I've had like a real good week of playing guitar on the Dan Electro, and it's made me look at other Dan Electros. I'm like, well, you can get them for like £200 if I've got one, I might as well just get all the colours. I'm like, it's like Matt with the food pedals. I just want to get all of them.
I mean, talking off
that, there's a DC-59 in every for every room.
Yeah, why not? Why not? Or there's another one that I saw recently, which is the, I forget what the original single cut one was called when they did the Korean reissues. But there's one of those in aquamarine burst, and it looks amazing.
Oh, yeah, I need to get more Dan Electro pedals. I need to get every Dan Electro pedal ever made. And well, not just one of each. I mean, every pedal ever made. I'm going like...
Could be like that geezer buying, getting the VHSs
of Speed.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I'm pretty convinced that the only thing I care about now is Godan. So
let's try and get the Godan nerds in touch with them, see if they can send you one.
I might well rename this podcast the Go Down Nerds. I can't guarantee that I won't. Jay Cross, you want to talk about something on the podcast this week?
Well, I just thought that it was left off the news, but I thought it was worth just bringing up very briefly that Ernie Ball announced two new signature artists this week. So they're not new models insofar as Ernie Ball have been doing with their signature artists of late, where they've just been bringing out completely new shapes. But kind of the punk rock community, I guess there's a couple of exciting new guitars out there.
Absolutely. One of them is the coolest iteration of this guitar ever. And I apologize for not adding this to the news because I was very excited about it myself. So
first up, so there's a guitar and a bass. We'll start with the bass, and that is the Mike Herrera Stingray bass. So Mike Herrera is the vocalist and bass player from the band MXPX. And he has team. It looks like both these guitars are being done in conjunction with Ernie Ball to raise money for the Music Heirs COVID-19 Relief Fund. So that's really nice. You know, this is an instrument that is that's only really come to light because of a charitable cause. So that's really cool. It's just a cool looking Stingray bass in seafoam green. It's got the big Stingray plate. It's got the MXPX logo on there, which is never my favorite thing to do when a band puts their logo like in a really prominent position.
Especially not that big.
It's like really, really in the, like, you can't miss it. So that's, you know, but that's fine. You know, it's for a charitable cause. So I think we can give everyone a little bit of a break there. The other one, which is really cool.
Now let's talk about the exciting one.
So the Stingray guitar signature model by Stephen Egerton. So Stephen Egerton is the guitar player from The Descendants.
One of the most important punk rock bands of all time.
Absolutely one of the most important punk bands of all time. Yeah.
And All. He was in All.
And he was also in All, yeah.
Great band.
He has done, I think he's done a load of recording for bands as well over the
last
few years.
He was in the Lemonheads for a while.
Was he?
Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah, he did, what's his name from the Lemonheads, did an album where his backing band were essentially The Descendants.
Oh, right. I had no idea. That's amazing.
Yeah. What is that guy's name?
Yep, that man from The Descendants.
Please talk about this guitar. It's the coolest thing I've ever seen Music Man release.
Evan Dando.
Thank you. Yeah, that was gonna blow my brains out. Stingray is in Charcoal Sparkle, which is obviously a finish we've talked about before and absolutely love. But the thing that's great about this, there's no controls whatsoever. No volume control, single pickup, no tone control. There's just a plate where there used to be...
That's the best bit, that they've kept the control plate from the Stingray,
so
but with nothing drilled in.
It's so ridiculous.
There. One humbucker in the bridge? Oh.
Yeah, why do you need anything else? I mean, we've talked about like that being kind of the quintessential like punk rock loadout. Well, but I didn't think anyone would ever actually do it. I didn't think anyone would have the guts to be like, yeah, you know what? Fine, let's just do it. Let's just absolutely do it.
I've mentioned that's how Tim, the guitarist in my band, has his SGs wired.
Yeah, but that's because he plays left-handed, doesn't he?
Yes.
So the stuff's going to get in the way. This isn't... Once again, this comes down, Joe. This isn't about function over form. Sorry, no. This isn't about... Wait, which way around is it? This isn't for any logistical purposes. This is because it's like, well, don't use them. So let's just get rid of them. That's fine. They're not in the way. So, really, really cool. It looks great. And yeah, obviously it's for a really good cause, so yeah, definitely absolutely worth checking out. It looks like they're being made to order because it's saying that they ship within 3 months. It's also both these guitars are US exclusive, so
but you can buy direct as well. You can buy direct if you're in the States, and they even have monthly rates, so you can pay as little as $105 a month. For however many months it takes
to pay
off
that, Joe.
£2,500. You what?
Yeah.
I said you've thought about that, haven't you?
I'm thinking about this quite long and hard. I know enough people in the States to buy this and get them to send it over to me.
Also,
this guitar.
It comes strung up with 11s. Like, fantastic.
Oh, that's even
it's
better.
It's the dream guitar. No, controls, 11s, no. One humbucker. Like, what more do you need? That's perfect.
It's it's very cool. It's
sorry, Jay, I've got to interrupt you there because I can hear the dulcet tones of the question duck.
Are you sure that's not the seagulls that are flying?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm pretty sure it's the seagulls.
This is definitely the seagulls episode. There have been a lot of seagulls coming from your audio feed, Jay.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I would close the window, but it's really hot up here, so I'm afraid.
A whopping 17 degrees for us in the UK here today, so we're all shirts off. Anyway, as the
I've got my pants off.
I know. I really wish we weren't doing this via video, but it's fine. I can deal with it. Anyway, the question duck has uttered his entrance into the questions, and we don't have very long left, so we should try to get at least a question in. So. Liam McGovern says, if the Baja Telecaster and Blues Junior are the official love of the guitar nerds, what is the bass equivalent for the nerds? Let's go around the room. Mark Packham.
American Standard P-Bass, Ampeg, SVT, Classic.
Okay.
I mean, like, personally, that's not what I would take to gig for the reasons that the SVT Classic is far too big and heavy for
most venues.
Well,
that's what I mean. I do kind of feel like you've gone for the quintessential head, and certainly the Blues Junior isn't the quintessential gigging guitar amp, but it is the amp that we favour for certain reasons. So I reckon give it a touch more thought.
No, I reckon it depends. I reckon it completely depends on how we're defining. Like,
that's so cold.
give it some more thought. No, it depends on why we've chosen Blues Junior, though, because actually I do think Blues Junior is a gigging amp, and for a lot of musicians, Blues Junior is absolutely perfect because it's a great home amp and it's great for taking to gigs. Unfortunately, bass is different because is there a bass amp that's the ideal bass amp to have for home and the ideal bass amp to take out for gigs? Absolutely not, because bass practice amps, as we've discussed, pretty much pointless. Like, yeah. If you're practicing bass at home, just use headphones. Plug it into a sound card or like whatever you've got lying around and practice like that, because home bass amps, pretty much pointless, because they're not loud enough really to go and do a gig with. There's certain exceptions. I think there's like the little Mark bass combos like CMD121P, but I also kind of feel like I don't think that is the best amp for home, and I also don't think it's the best amp for most gigs. So I'm going straight in classic rock and roll setup, American P-Bass, SVT Classic head. That is like the gold standard for gigging.
Okay, I definitely appreciate your arguments. I think, what you've done is essentially said, I don't know, Gibson Les Paul and Marshall,
Different argument.
That sounds great.
Yeah, different argument though. Because if the argument was like, what's the best thing to go out and gig? I'd say, yeah, absolutely, Les Paul Jr., DSL-50. That's my favorite rig of all time. If you're saying what's the quintessential,
what's wrong with you?
I love the DSL-50. It's one of the best amps ever made. If you were saying like what's the quintessential guitar rig, I would say Baja Tele and Blues Junior. Guitar nerds rig, sorry, Baja Tele, Blues Junior. There isn't an equivalent for that on bass, I don't think, because firstly, we haven't championed stuff as much. Yeah, we've said like P-Bass is the best, and obviously, there's literally no way you could argue against that. Is there an amp that encompasses everything like a Blues Junior does? Absolutely not. Doesn't exist for bass. So I'm going American Standard P-Bass and an SVT Classic.
Does Mark's argument, almost sort of, you know, defunct us actually continuing this. Is he in fact right? Is there not, there's no way of doing an alternative because there is no ultimate rig for bass in the same way that there is for guitar. Jay Cross.
Yeah, I mean, I do agree. I think it is difficult to find that answer because the bass does a very different job to the guitar. You know, the bass is there as the kind of backing, as the rhythm, and it needs to move a lot of air. You need to move air when you're playing bass in a band, and that is just not practical for home use.
But are we looking at this the wrong way though? Because we always say we never talk about Bar Hartelli and Blues Junior for gigging. We just say it's the two best things you could buy. So what are the two
this
best
is an
things
interesting
you can,
point.
What are the two best things that
I don't,
you would
I don't
buy for bass right now?
American standard.
I don't think that's true though, because
any of us actually play a Baja a Blues Junior?
No,
a live situation.
Yeah, I think the way
love
he's
the amp because it sounds fantastic and is a good price and comes in some great finish options. I think that's very different from us looking at it from a gigging perspective.
Is it what I would want to play every night for the kind of music that I like? Absolutely not. Not a Blues Junior. A Blues Junior.
Well, there you go. So
it.
Why are you looking at it from the same perspective?
Because
if we were going to go gigging, I would be talking about like a Boss Katana as my favourite gigging app. And I wouldn't talk about a Telecaster for being a gigging guitar.
I would suggest that the perhaps the Katana has usurped the Blues Junior as the guitar nerd's quintessential amp of choice. But maybe I think the problem lies in the question, in that there cannot
speak
be the same thing for bass, because the reason we recommend Blues Bar Hartelli and a Blues Junior is that they're like really good for almost everyone. You know, and like I just don't feel like there's that option for bass, because bass is like, I mean, apart from, you know, just saying P bass, because I actually do think the P bass is the best thing anyone could buy for bass. But the amp is way more difficult because guitar amps and bass amps aren't like for like. You cannot compare them.
The P bass is the greatest musical invention of the 20th century.
As I said, I've said many times, I would put it up there in the top 10 inventions of the last century.
Yeah, no. It's like I would say, other than the internet, the P bass is the most important invention of the 20th century. But if we're talking about like musical stuff, and you know, I realise that. I mean, I don't know when penicillin was invented, but I assume that was, you know, there's probably an argument for putting penicillin up there as well. But, you know, in terms of like musical equipment, the P bass is the greatest is the greatest invention. When it comes to amps, it is very difficult because, as I say, the bass just does a completely different thing. And I think generally what you need is you need something at home that sounds good and that feel inspired enough to go and play. Now, whether that's, you know, buying a small bass practice amp, whether that is going into a sound card and using headphones, whether that is going into your guitar amp and just, you know, rolling back the treble so that it sounds, you know, inspiring enough for you to want to practice and play at home, then that's that. I don't think that there is an amp that is good enough to do that and good enough to play a gig with. If what you want to, without DIing, you know, because you could get a small Ampeg that sounds good at home, or you can get a Fender Rumble that sounds good at home, and you know, you can then DI out of that and it will sound great. But like, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about something that you can use down at the, you know, the Dog and Duck and play in front of 100 people.
I'd be interested to hear Matt weigh in on this.
Best guitar rig I ever played. Because I did play bass rig, because I played bass in a band, was a Squire JV.
Squire JV what?
P bass.
Right.
In black with a tortoise guard and a little Mark III. That's it. Done. Don't need anything else. Oh, and a DS1.
Classic bass pedal, the DS1.
I don't know. I'd think Little Mark, surely the Little Mark is like the equivalent of the Blues Junior of the bass world.
So you think the what is
the
Little Mark 3?
The Little Mark. I disagree. I disagree completely.
But you hate the Little Mark anyway.
No. It's not me. It's not a personal thing. And I think I think as sort of non-bass players, you've got to sort of step into.
What do you mean, like, not bass players?
No, other than you, Mark. Just like let me step into this,
Matt,
one. That
have you done more gigs on bass than you have on guitar?
I have actually done more gigs playing bass.
Jay, have you done more gigs playing bass than you have on guitar?
Absolutely.
Yeah, there we go.
I mean, in fairness, I would still absolutely consider myself a failed guitar player, you know, which is what all bass players are, right? It's people who weren't good enough at guitar to play, you know.
Yeah, I think that the Mark bass alienated as many people as it brought on board. You know,
I don't think it alienated anybody. I think you've constructed this in your brain, and you've said it so often maybe. That you're like, yeah, this is real. This is
okay.
Stockholm syndrome over a bass amp.
Not at all. It's like us talking about instead of Blues Junior, saying, well, the Hughes and Kettner Tubemeister does you know everything right, better mate. Than Blues Junior does.
But like I thought we were having a sensible discussion here. Come on.
but that's what I'm saying. What we're talking about with the Blues Junior is something that's a very, very traditional and sort of retro quintessential guitar tone. And then when it comes to bass, you guys are talking about something that's incredibly modern, that's absolutely not suitable for anyone who wants to throw any sort of drive.
SVT Classic?
Well, no. Sorry, yes, you mentioned the SVT Classic, but everyone else is talking about Mark bass. And I'm just saying that they, you know, anything Class D, and this isn't exclusive to Mark bass, they make fantastic amps, but anything Class D is going to collapse under the pressure of any drive. It's not going to work.
That's why you've got to get a little Mark 1, mate. The solid state power amp, one of the best sounding amps of all time. I've changed my pick. Mark bass, right, little okay. Mark 1. Go back okay. to 2004. Okay. Right. Get yourself one of those. Job done.
Okay. But that's all I'm saying is I think, you know, that there are very specific tones available from Mark bass. And maybe that's kind of what we're coming down to here is we all favour the Blues Junior because we love those sort of vintage Fender tones, and who wouldn't? It's an absolutely fantastic sound. Certainly not for some of our listeners. They certainly wouldn't get behind that. But
that's
for,
what I'm
for
saying.
Us.
That's what I'm saying, SVT Classic. Like, think about all the people that have played them from you know, people who are using like loads of effects, loads of drive, right through to kind of like funk players and stuff in the 70s. Like, they're all using SVTs, and the one that sort of is the modern equivalent, I guess, is the SVT Classic. I would suggest that is the equivalent of like a Blues Junior. And if you actually want to dive deeper into that, in fact, probably something like, you know, if you're thinking about, okay, well, SVT Classic is big, it's heavy, you know, it doesn't quite fall
does,
on the
does
line.
Does it have to be currently made? Is that one of the things?
I don't think so, no. I mean, so, you know, like I was just saying, you know, if you're thinking that SVT Classic is, you know, too big, too bulky, the other one to think about would be something like SVT 3, which actually is a bit more of a kind of all-rounder amp. It's a bit smaller, a bit less money.
It's not loud enough.
SVT 3 is loud. Yeah,
no,
definitely. They're 450 watts, aren't they?
Yeah, it sounds like about 150 watts. The it was one of the worst amps for
no. Volume. Oh, SVT. I love those. They're super loud.
No, I'm sure for cafes and bedrooms, Mark, they're fantastic. But you know, they're
450 watts.
But they don't sound like 450.
All right,
watts.
Well, let's go SVT Classic then. Let's go SVT Classic.
Okay. I guess that's everyone's pick. I think you guys have all unanimously chosen the Precision Bass as the bass. We haven't settled on an individual model like we did, you know, the Baja. Is there a P bass that could
Just an individual P bass?
Sorry?
Just the P bass.
Yeah.
Any P bass you can get.
Well, I was going to say, guys, if you know, we should actually be a bit more specific about this. Come on. I mean, I think
American standard P bass.
No, I think
from
you're wrong.
From 2002.
No, I think you're wrong. I think the Mexican 50s P bass is the one we're talking about. Because you know what the Baja represents for us? Its value, as well as being incredible. We're always with the Baja when we talk about it. Best Telecaster for under £1,000. We're never saying it's the best Telecaster. Because we know there's custom shop stuff out there. We know there are other brands also making great T-style guitars. But for under £1,000, the Baja is the best. And I tell you what, for under £1,000, the Mexican 50s P-Bass is absolutely, pound for pound, the best precision bass you can possibly buy. You get that big proper 50s neck. You get some great finishes. You get a gold anodized plate. You get a vintage 50s style P-Bass pickup, which is almost without doubt the best sounding P-Bass pickup that has ever been. I just think, you know, I don't know why we're not talking about that.
Well,
it's certainly not the American standard.
I think unless you're you, Joe, most bass players only ever buy one bass.
Yeah.
So they can probably afford to fork out a little bit more, where guitar players want a Baja because they need to maintain their terrible, terrible, crippling guitar addiction.
I actually think that's true.
Where bass players buy one bass and then that's it. So, you know, I think they can go up.
Well, that's ridiculous. In that case, if it's only going to be one bass, you would buy an original. Like, if money's no object, you buy a Fender P bass from the 60s. You'd drop $4,500 on a proper 60s P bass.
No, 60s one.
No, you're
out of order.
Why not?
Why would you? 59, why would you, mate, do that?
Why wouldn't you do that? I don't understand.
That's what I'm saying. American standard P bass is like the perfect.
No,
point.
Why would anyone want a P bass with like a modern bridge on it?
Because they and sound really good.
A wimpy sort of modern neck. Like, what? In what world does anyone want that? Who's not playing
it's
in
not,
like
it's
a
not
funk
wimpy.
Band?
It's not.
No,
wimpy.
It is wimpy, mate. It's wimpy. A 50s P bass. Was the last bass that had a proper neck on it. It's the only bass, a 50s reissue bass is the only bass in Fender's current catalogue that has a proper neck on it. And at least it doesn't have those ridiculous modern bridges. Fenders with modern hardware. You would never talk to me about a Telecaster with individual bridge saddles.
I would.
We would never
I love
have
it.
That conversation.
I love them.
So I
absolutely
don't know why, on basses, we're allowed to have this chat about sort of stupid hardware.
Sometimes I put strap saddles on my telly just because I
can.
The
other thing you've got to bear in mind is basses are a bit boring, really.
No,
you know?
No.
Like,
I mean, Joe, I'm a bass player.
You've wound them up
the
so much.
Basses
are
boring.
A bit boring.
Basses are boring. I agree.
Basses are pretty boring. And you as long as we can get, you know, you only end up a bass player if your two mates who you know who play guitar were better at guitar than you. Or in your case, Joe, your one mate who, you know, was better at guitar than you. So you end up playing bass. That's how everyone ends up playing bass. And it's just like, I've learned to deal with it and I come to terms with it and it's fine. I feel fine with it. You know, I've got this cool looking, functional, great sounding, feels wicked bass that I love every time I pick it up. But like, I don't pick up at home. You're mad? Of course not. I pick up a guitar, pick up a real instrument.
Well, I agree. If I had a bridge that looked as stupid as an American standard bridge on a P-Bass looks, I probably wouldn't pick it up either. Anyway, we are drawing towards the end of this week's free episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. You can, of course, listen to an entire extra episode of Guitar Nerds every week over on our Patreon site. And this week, on our Patreon site, patreon.com/guitarnerds, it's the finale of Gear of the Decade. So if you thought we were arguing in this episode, wait until, you know, I push through the Soundbrenner into the final of Gear of the Decade. I don't think I do, actually. I can't remember. We recorded it so long ago. But anyway, this is the final episode of Gear of the Decade this week, which is going to be absolutely fantastic. So tune in for that. To become a Patreon supporter, it costs only $1 a month.
Just sorry to interrupt. I've got to interrupt you. I just wanted to make sure before I did, but the American Pro P-Bass comes with a Hi-Mass vintage style bridge. So, you know, it's whatever we're talking about here is your argument's falling apart.
And also, if you get like an American standard from, you know, like 10 years ago or whatever, you get one for under $1,000 and they've got an old style bridge on it. Happy days.
Mine's 2008.
But why
and
wouldn't you buy the
50s wicked.
One so you get a proper neck on it and you get vintage tin?
I don't like those necks and
proper
I don't
colours.
Like that finish.
You don't like those necks?
No.
You don't
too
like
wide.
Those necks?
Mate, if you want that neck,
too,
if you want
too
it
too wide.
If you want it that wide, just
too
play
wide.
Start playing classical
too
guitar.
Wide. Why don't you play a ukulele, Mark? Why don't you play a ukulele?
He's
if you
broken.
Want to play a bass, except that they're wide.
He's broken.
Yeah,
I've just picked up my P bass for the first time in I don't know how long, and I've got blood all over it. I must have cut myself the last time that the last time that I played a show with it, and like that's how infrequently
I
pick it up.
Good,
I bet it's still in tune. I bet you it's still in tune.
Hang on a sec. Yeah, close enough. You know. I mean, I certainly wouldn't be taking a tuner to the show, so it's
no
fine.
Need. Yeah.
Oh my god. Oh my goodness. Anyway. You know, you can join our Patreon community at the $1 tier or the $5 tier, where you can enjoy an extra episode every week. Plus, you get access to our entire back catalogue. And there's the $10 tier, where you can become an executive producer and enjoy all those benefits. Plus, you get your name sung in a song that I sing at the end of every episode. Ooh, you can follow us on all the major social platforms at Katanids and join the Facebook discussion and be there this Friday, where we're doing the Facebook quiz of the century on facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. Now, next week on our Patreon episodes is a new series with me and Matt called The Pedals That Made Us, where Matt and me are going to be recounting the best pedals from the last, you know, 35 odd years. Wait, you're much younger than me, Matt.
I'm not that much younger than you.
How much younger than me are you?
I am 33.
Oh, right, that's fine. Yeah, 35. So that's okay. But yes, we're going to be recounting the pedals of our youth, which is going to be wonderful. Thanks very much for tuning in this week, listener. We'll catch you next week for more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Cheers, gang.
And Schultze, Michael Howe, Brian Hansen, Jeffrey Wags, Eric Kemmer, Brian Isaac, Gavin van der Linden, Jacob McGee.
Hi.
Marcus Howe, got a wacky Stuart Robson, Neil Milton, Robert Stu, Christy, Elon Hansen, Keith Adams, Eric File, Andrew Good, Merritt Peters, Richard Sudworth, and Jacob Moore. Derek Rich, Rob Nordvik, Steve Merkel, J.D. Shorten, Robin Smith, oh, Carlos Mancha, Brad Page, and Andy McKenzie, Scott O'Brien, Paul Corrigan, Will Clare, and Lou Gravitt. The guitarists, you put that, you got the guitarists, we get the back, the guitarists, yeah, we get the back. Barbarella Cambadine.